The following podcast represents the opinions of the host and is for educational purposes. These are not accusations, and everybody is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Due to the graphic nature of this episode, listener discretion is advised.
Oh my gosh, I didn't forget part of it, did I? So I brought Graham in here because we want to talk to you about the results, okay? So, it is completely clear that you were not honest during the testing, and I think you already know that. You did not pass the polygraph test.
Okay.
Okay. So now we need to talk about what actually happened. And I feel like you're probably ready to do that.
I didn't lie to you on that polygraph, I promise.
Chris,
I know.
Chris, stop.
It's time.
Just stop for a minute. Take a deep breath. I want you to take a deep breath right now.
There's a reason you feel sick to your stomach. And when people hold stuff inside, it makes you physically ill. And I can just tell on your face, I could tell from the second you walked in that you were wanting to just come clean and just be done with this. And I appreciate that because you knew sitting down in that chair that you weren't going to pass today. And you knew I was going to find out because I told you that. And then you continued to stay knowing that you could, at the end, say, you know what? I just need to get this off my chest. Like, I just need to tell you what happened. We're not here to play games. We're not here to do any of that with you. We just want to know what happened. So can you start from the beginning and tell us what happened?
Everything that I've told you, I did not lie on this polygraph. I don't know how much I could tell you right now. Like, I did not.
It's not even an option right now because you did not pass the polygraph. So I know you were being deceptive. So that's not even an issue right now. The issue right now is what happened to Shanann, Bella, and Celeste. That's the issue right now.
Okay.
So let's talk about that.
I know
you want to tell us. I can see it in your face. Holding this lie in is going to do nothing for you.
I know this. Like, okay. I'm not, like, trying to, like...
It took me a few days, but I've watched the entire interrogation video. And for the most part, it's like watching paint dry. That is, until the sixth hour of that seven-hour interrogation. As I watched Special Agent Coder and Agent Lee break Chris down minute by minute, bit by bit. At that point, Chris Watts still had the upper hand, though. Had he called a timeout then, or told them the line of questioning was just too emotional for him, and just walked out, he could have kept that upper hand. But he didn't. Instead, he voluntarily gave that advantage away. It seems as though most he was just giving up. He had no more fight left in him to keep the wheels spinning on his story and his efforts to get away with murder. One thing Chris Watts did not know was that by Wednesday afternoon, following the failed polygraph test, and Chris's claims that there were no infidelities in their marriage, law enforcement knew all about his affair. They knew he had a girlfriend, and they knew she was a co-worker of his at Anadarko. They also knew it was a recent affair, and that apparently Chris had been lying to her as well about his relationship status and marriage to Shanann. The credit for that tip goes to Nicole Kessinger. She sat down for a first interview with two FBI agents in the afternoon of Wednesday, August 15th. It was as a result of this interview with Nicole Kessinger that law enforcement was able to pass the information on to Coder and Lee. And with this new information, they were able to put the pressure on Chris. They had an edge, and Chris Watts had no idea. As the interview plays on, the agents loosen him up for hours, letting him waste their time, and they listen to what he has to say. They nudge and prod here and there, but they had no idea just how dark and twisted this story would prove to be. The agents had to play nice, otherwise Chris would clam up and probably call a lawyer. The first step was getting him to admit to the affair. If the agents came right out and told him that they knew all about the affair already, then Chris Watts would wonder what else they knew, and their interview would be over. But by Chris Watts admitting to that himself, he was able to save face. And if he admitted to the affair, in his mind, maybe detectives would think that was the worst of it. The first really big breakthrough comes immediately after the polygraph when Coder and Lee return to the cubicle together. What Chris doesn't know, as he has been stuck in interview room 2, at that point for about 5 hours, is that both agents have been filled in on a lot more information. So, they decide to step it up a notch.
Things up like
yeah, but you kind of are, because it's normal. Normal people would do that. Normal people that make a mistake initially are going to go, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't do anything. That's normal. I would expect that. It's just like if you ask your kid, you know, did you write on the wall? And they go, no. And you're like, you have marker on your hand. Like, I know you just wrote on the wall. And they're like, oh, okay. That's a natural reaction that someone's going to initially lie about something like that and then eventually tell the truth. So this is your eventually telling the truth time. This is where the rubber meets the road, Chris. Like, don't let this continue any longer, please.
I'm not trying to make anything continue. Like, I want them back home, like...
But you know they're not coming back home. You know that.
I don't know in the back of my head. I hope they come back home.
But you know they're not.
I hope they come back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know they're not coming back home.
Chris, Tammy, and I are confused. Okay. And here's what we're confused about. I told you that we've done some work overnight.
Yeah.
I told you that we've got a lot of leads. Okay. That wasn't a lie.
I know.
We know a lot more than you think we do. Okay. And here's where we're confused. You're this great guy. I'm not just telling you that, okay? I'm telling you that because everyone tells us that, okay? We can't find anyone to say anything bad about you. Chris is a great guy. He's a good father. He's a good man. We're confused as to why you're not taking care of your beautiful children.
I'm not taking care of them right now?
Right now. Where are they?
I don't know where they're at. I do not know where they are at. If I could have my babies back home right now, I would. I want them back. I want everybody back. That is the God's honest truth.
55 long seconds tick by. You can almost see the tension in the air through the computer screen. The pressure is building. This moment speaks volumes for the interrogation. Chris Watts isn't giving them anything, so it's almost pointless even talking if he's just going to clam up. The silence is like a standoff. It's almost like Chris Watts wanted to take these agents on in a duel of wits and lies. He thought he could fool them just like he thought he could fool all of his friends and family. He thought he was smarter than all of them. But Chris Watts was about to learn a harsh lesson in dealing with the law. They always win.
We just can't figure out why there's two Chris's, okay? We talked about that last night.
Yes.
We just can't figure it out. There's a Chris, okay? If somebody asked me my kid's child routine, I would say, I don't know, go ask your mom. That's the truth, right? And so it is very surprising to me, and it warms my heart, that you're the type of dad who can pack a bag in the morning. And you know just what to put in there. And you know just what to put in there as a backup in case they have an accident, okay? You know what the clothes to put in there. You know what they have for breakfast. You know what they have for a snack and a dinner and a nighttime snack. You can tell me the book you read to your daughters, okay? I know you love them. And you're not faking that, are you? It's real, okay? There's a lot of guys who come in here and try to tell me that. And I know they're lying, okay? Because they can't answer those questions that you can answer, okay? But you're here today lying about something else. So we need to talk about that, okay?
About you, daughter.
I know. And this is very good.
Keep it. I'm not proud of it. I didn't think anything like that could happen. I don't think I would ever do it, but I did.
I know. Keep going.
And she accused me of it. I denied it. I asked you to honor, and I feel horrible for it. Like, she was pregnant, and it was, I don't want to, I didn't hurt her. I cheated on her, I hurt her emotionally. I cheated on her. And I feel absolutely horrible about this, but That's what I've been holding. I didn't go to the Rockies game. I was with her.
Okay.
I went to dinner with her.
As I've already mentioned, this was a huge breakthrough in the interrogation. Having Chris admit to the affair was a step in the right direction, and gave him a feeling of control. But both agents knew there was more to the story. As the agents sat across from Chris in that small interview room, prodding him for details in an effort to help find his missing family, law enforcement was investigating the found bedsheet, plastic bag, and disturbed ground at Survey 319 that drone operators had located. It would only be a matter of time before the whole ugly truth came out, or at least one version of it.
I just find it hard to hear you talk about just having this emotional, you know, conversation with Shanann, and you're bawling and crying together, and you have not shed one tear in 2 days that you've been here.
Not one.
And I help me understand that, because I don't get it. These are your baby girls. And you have not shed one tear over them not being around. Chris, I lose my 4-year-old in the store for 10 seconds and I start to go panic. Panic. I have not seen any of that from you at all. Help me understand that.
I love those girls. I would never do any of this because I haven't shed a tear. You get it?
Yeah, no, that's weird. Is that weird?
Don't look into that. Like, I don't love my kids.
Well, tell
I love
me.
My
Explain
wife.
To me. You're crying with your wife that you're leaving her.
Yeah.
But you don't cry that your two little baby girls.
I'm hoping they're still around somewhere. I'm hoping they're still somewhere.
Yeah, but
alive.
You don't have them right now. You're
I
not
know.
Reading stories to them at night.
I know.
You're not giving them midnight snacks. You're not giving them their medicine. You're not waking up with them in the morning.
I know this. Like, I.
So that should cause you pain.
It does cause me pain.
But I don't see that. I don't see that. I want to see the Chris that cares. I want to see the Chris that, you know, feels bad about what he did and wants to, you know, get this off his chest and be done with this. And let us find your little girls so that they're not out there in the middle of a field or whatever somewhere. Like, don't do that.
I love those girls to death.
Then show us that. Show us that. Show us this Chris, not this Chris.
I'm not showing you that Chris. I'm showing you the Chris that cares about his girls and his wife. Just because I haven't shed a tear, it shouldn't make you feel like I haven't, that the love isn't there for them.
It's weird. It doesn't make sense.
I understand that.
You have to...
I totally see where you're coming from. Trust me, like, there's nothing... just because I...
Chris,
you know,
people can be pushed to the point where they do something that they regret. It happens every single day.
I know.
But part of what makes you a man is the guy that goes, I really fucked up, but this is what I did, and I'm going to pay for what I did, and I'm going to tell you what I did, and I'm going to be honest about it.
Chris, we can keep talking to you once we find these girls, okay? But once we find these girls and your wife, right, no matter how we find them, no matter what condition they're in, we can keep talking to you, and you can tell us, guys, it's not as bad as it looks. And you can say, let me tell you what happened. I was never comfortable with you, Graham, or with you, Tam. No, I wasn't comfortable yet, but now that everything's known, now that the girls are found and Shanann's found, however they're found, it's okay. We can keep talking to you. Okay?
Chris, did Shanann do something to them?
No, I don't know.
I'm serious.
I have no clue.
No, you would have known, because they didn't leave the house.
Did
Shanann do something to them, and then did you feel like you had to do something to Shanann?
At this point, in Chris Watt's mind, the wheels start turning. When Agent Lee asked if maybe Shanann killed the girls, that gave Chris an idea. As the interrogation continues, both agents keep putting the pressure on Chris. They aren't buttering him up anymore, and they aren't letting him tell his lies and stories while they just sit back nodding their heads. Chris Watts was now a suspect, and everybody in the room had their own reasons for believing it. And then, at one point, agents decide to make a move that would either make or break the entire interrogation. They let Chris speak with his father, Ronnie Watts. The reason this was so risky was because at any point during their conversation, Chris's father could have told him to call a lawyer and to stop speaking with detectives altogether, That would have been a dead end, and things may have turned out differently for Chris.
Did you guys make sure they were warm when they left the house?
Make sure they were warm? They're always warm. They always have, when they're in their beds, they're always warm.
Okay. Were you guys taking care of them at the very end?
They're always taken care of. They never miss a meal.
Chris, you took them out of the house with their blankets and their animals. That's because you cared. That's what a caring dad does.
I mean, I'm always caring for these kids. There's nothing in this world for my life.
I believe that, and I believe someone made a mistake, whether it was you or Shanann. And you either cleaned up after Shanann or you made the mistake, and I mean, I want to believe that maybe Shanann did it and you felt compelled to fix this so Shanann didn't look bad. That's what I want to believe. But I don't know, you're not telling me that, so it makes me think the worst. Like, did you
I did not do anything to these kids. Not do anything.
What did Shanann do to them? Tell us, Chris. Chicks are crazy.
Can I talk to my dad or something?
Absolutely.
Come here.
Do you want to bring him in here?
No, I just can't talk to my dad. I flew across the country.
Hey, Chris. How about this? If we brought your dad in here, would you please tell him what happened?
Can I just go talk to him? I've been in here for like 5 or 6 hours and I'm late.
Absolutely. Chris, look at me, man. It's not going to feel any better. He deserves an answer.
It's your best friend.
There's only one person you wanted here. Most, and it's your dad.
Yes.
What would you tell him?
I love him, and I just want him to be by my side.
Okay. He knows more than we do that you're a good man. And he knows as much as you want to protect your wife, Shanann. I think he would tell you to do the right thing. Before we get him.
Can I go out there and talk to him?
Well, I don't know that you want to do it out there because there's a lot of people going through the halls. Should we bring him in here?
We'll step out. Okay.
Do you need a few minutes with him?
Okay.
Okay. Can we just ask a couple more questions? It seems like you're about to get it off your chest. Is there any way that you can help us understand more about Shanann and why maybe something happened? So that we don't get a bad picture about her. And what I mean is, what happened that night with her?
Shortly after I talked to her?
With the girls.
Like when we were having that conversation in bed there?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I talked to her about the separation and the house and she asked me about the affair and
okay.
And that's how that conversation went.
Okay.
She was distraught. She had like mascara on her face, all that.
Okay.
And that was emotional.
Well, how about this? If we bring in your dad, will you promise me that you'll talk to him?
I'll talk to him.
Okay. Will you promise me that you'll tell him everything? Would it be easier if you told him and he told us?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know if that's going to be easy or not. I tend to think it's not. I think you're the type of guy that needs to take responsibility, because you always have taken responsibility. You've always made the right choice. So I guess I'm just worried that if we bring your dad in here, that could distract you. What do you think?
Distract me from, like, talking to you?
Yeah.
I just need to talk to him.
Okay. All right. I know you'll do the right thing. I do. I don't know how long it's going to take. I think that you need to think a little bit more about them. Okay?
And you need to realize that your dad is not going to stop loving you no matter what you tell him. You are his child. And he will not stop loving you.
Never.
Ever.
And this is not the last chapter in anyone's story. At all. Okay? He's been here the whole time. You know, he didn't want to leave you. Have you ever seen, sometimes when an animal's owner dies, they stick around forever? I mean, that's your dad. Poor guy didn't want to leave today, okay? So, keep that in mind. He wants to hear it all.
I found it very interesting how agents managed to frame the structure of Chris's conversation with his father before they even left the room. They didn't want to take any more chances, and they made Chris feel like he was in control of the situation. When agents leave the room, Chris takes off his glasses and digs his face into the shoulder of his t-shirt and wipes away tears. They seemed to be real tears, genuine emotion. He didn't want to let his father see him crying. The agents don't allow his father into the room immediately though. 5 minutes pass by, ticking away in the silent interview room. Outside of the room, however, Chris's father is given instructions by agents. Obviously, everybody wants to find out what happened to Shanann, Bella, and Cece, and Ronnie Watts needs to know if his grandchildren are safe. The following conversation between Ronnie and Chris Watts is a much different tone than the interrogation. Father and son speak in low, hushed tones. Maybe they don't want to be heard. Ronnie is quiet much of the time and echoes what his son says, almost questioning everything he is told. But what agents hadn't been able to achieve in over 5 hours, Ronnie Watts achieved in 5 minutes.
Hey Chris, we're going to let you have however much time you need, okay?
Okay. You going to leave us in there or no?
Yes.
Hurt him?
Yeah.
courtroom. Did they leave after that for a long time? So she started her begins.
Paper.
Due to the poor audio and the fact Chris and his father are speaking in hushed voices, it's kind of hard to hear. But in case you didn't, Chris Watts just told his father that Shanann smothered their children. As detectives listen in on the conversation in another room, Chris continues to confess to his father.
I told him.
I didn't hear anything. When I was downstairs, they came back up and they were gone. I don't know, like me talking to her about that. Talking to her about separation and everything, about
like she lost it.
I don't know, like, what else to say, like, I freaked out. I had it. Those are my kids.
Again, due to the poor audio, it's hard to tell exactly what Chris is saying. But it appears that he tells his father that he freaked out when he saw what Shanann had done to his kids. Ronnie Watts is having a hard time hearing this from his son, and he tries his best to make sense of it all.
She freaked out over the separation and everything.
She laid back down, but that's when I went downstairs, but I heard like a little commotion upstairs, but I didn't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm. And then you went back upstairs and she was...
Never. I can see, like, she was on top of this.
Want to choke her, girl? Did she kill her?
They're blue.
Both of them?
Yes.
She choked both of them to death.
I freaked out in the same thing.
This was the first confession from Chris Watts, claiming that Shanann had suffocated both children, and in a fit of rage, he strangled her. It was a flimsy story, but it was the first admission of guilt from Chris Watts, and his father is having a hard time believing it.
I didn't know what else to do.
Once again, it was hard to hear due to the poor audio. But after Chris Watts had just finished confessing to his father, Ronnie tells Chris he's going to have to arrange getting a lawyer for him. And within minutes, Agent Lee is back in the room. Had they told Agent Lee they needed another minute, or at that point asked for a lawyer, things would have played out much differently. But they didn't.
You doing okay? Can you tell us what you told your dad?
I went upstairs and I was going to talk to her again. I saw on the monitor. Bella's covers were like pulled off and she was just laying there. This is tough. Cycle over to CC. She was in there with her. On top of her.
Jump in.
Freaked out. I ran in there and got on top of her.
What'd you do? What happened?
I wasn't being hurt.
So she in?
Fuck, I did the same thing to her.
Chris Watts' first confession proves just how sneaky and disgusting he really is. In blaming his wife for the murders of his children, it gave the impression that he was the vengeful husband, who, stricken with grief after seeing what his wife had done, acted in a rage and dished out the same punishment. It was a Hail Mary, but it was all he could come up with in his scrambled head. It would be Chris Watts' first confession, but it wouldn't be his last. To join the discussion and gain access to police reports, interviews, and material related to this episode, head to theunforgivables.com. Content is updated weekly, and you're welcome to review the documents and come to your own conclusions.
Thanks for listening to The Watts Tapes, and you can listen to all the episodes of The Watts Tapes for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as anywhere else you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a 5-star review. It really does help.
Chris. And stand up for me. But I'm going to have you face that wall over there. Just face it. Lift up your hands. Okay, come and face this wall. Face me. Okay, you don't have anything on you, right? Okay, nothing in your pockets?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead and face that other wall behind you. I'm just going to search you real quick. Spread your legs further. No earrings, necklaces, anything like that? Okay. Let's walk out this way. Go straight. Go out that door to your left. I'm going to have you face that wall over there. Just face it. Lift up your hands.